Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
Welcome back to the Celebration of Life of Vita Blue. Our next clip is when Vita Blue was a guest on the Dick Cavett Show, and the date was January 16th, 1971.
Vita Blue. He's the amazingly successful 22-year-old pitcher of the Oakland A's. And it is true. The best batters in the league have said, one of them at the end of a game said, "We didn't actually see the ball, but we heard it real good." And it's called a blue day when he pitches and fills the park. And we have a blue night tonight because he's here. Will you welcome, please, the remarkable Vita Blue.
Today it's, I'm real stiff and...
Are you?
I can hit you real hard, but it's, my arm's still...
That's more information than I wanted. Where does it hurt?
Just in the shoulders. It's just stiffness, just natural stiffness.
Even though it didn't hurt at any during the game?
No. In the first part of the season, I could go out and pitch maybe 10 innings and come back the next day, would just have a little stiffness, not soreness, just... natural stiffness, and I could still throw a little bit.
Are you just obsessed with your arm? I mean, is it like a violinist worrying about his Stradivarius or something? You think, what if something happened to it? Do you have dreams in which you look down and your arm is only 8 inches long or anything?
No.
Any weird things like that?
I think about the time when there's going to be a day when I won't be able to throw a chunk anymore, as they say.
Yeah.
And,
well, what do they say? I want to say it. Chuck?
Chunk.
Oh, chunk. Of course, I knew that. Go ahead.
I'm from the South, man. You can't get that slang the way I do it. What do you say?
Oh, yeah?
Chunk. Say chunk.
Do I look like someone who's never eaten chitterlings? Sorry. Chunk, right.
Chunk.
Coming on next, we jump into the media for Vita Blue. We bring in John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, Mark Abanez, Channel 2 sports anchor who's retired, Greg Papa, of course you hear him right here on KNBR, and Vern Glenn, who's a sports anchor with Channel 5. Vita Blue is on many magazine covers, from the magazine Life to Time to Sports Illustrated, Sport Magazine, Baseball Digest, Sporting News, Ebony, Jet, Look, and Street and Smith. To discuss this, I'm going to my good friend who writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. Let's bring in John Shea. John, how are you?
Well, great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, you hear all these magazine covers, and I know you and I both remember them. What do you remember about Vita Blue when you saw all these covers of him on the front page?
Well, amazing. That's an extraordinary list. I mean, you know, presidents and people around the globe haven't been on all of those covers, but Vita Blue was. I mean, why? He was the most picturesque pitcher of the era. I mean, what Juan Marichal was in the 60s, Vita was, I mean, both with those high leg kicks, right? And though Vita, the left-hander who used to emulate him as kids, tucked that right elbow under the right leg as he came to the plate, and then the blue blazer leaving batters helpless. I mean, who can forget, you know, 1971, I was a kid, and I just adored him. 300 innings, 300 strikeouts a season for the ages. So much fun to watch. And he drove attendance up wherever he pitched, the Yankees, and all these other teams promoted the heck out of his starts, knowing wanted to see him pitch.
Well, one of the things Charlie Finley did is bought him a blue Cadillac and put his V blue as license plates. And Vida used to talk about him giving him a credit card, and he used to go to gas stations and literally fill up everybody's tank with that same credit card. Vida was a man of the people. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you're right. I mean, why would Charlie Finley want to create a nickname for a guy named Vida Blue? I mean, if anyone doesn't need a nickname, it was Vida. That was the best name in baseball.
Well, a player that had his first name on the back of his jersey, Vida, how important was that for him, and how important was that for the fans?
I was speaking with some younger baseball writers that the man had his first name on his jersey because there was somebody who walked by, Vida, 14, and he thought it was just like a made-up jersey. He said, no, that's what it was. He had Vida on the back of his jersey because why not? He was Vida. Everyone knew him as Vida. We refer to so many other people as their last name, but nobody said, hey, there goes Blue. It was always, there goes Vida. And it was amazing to watch him when I was a kid and then him and know him well later in life. And you know what, Bill? He was just as amazing in real life when I got to know him as he was when I was a kid watching him. He still lit up the room in retirement like he lit up the room being on all these covers of magazines in his 20s, dominating the world. So I think when you look at Vida Blue and his legacy, he is Mr. Bay Area, Mr. Giant, Mr. A. And as he said in that final interview, a lot of people are Giant fans, a lot of people are A's fans, and a lot of people are Vida Blue fans.
My next guest was a close friend of his that was in the media, Channel 2. We all know him, a sports anchor. Let's bring in Mark Abanez. Mark, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm always, always loving to talk about Vida, but I wish it were under different circumstances. I am proud to tell you, I love that man. Love him.
Well, Mark, all three of us did many events together. And when you all get together, you and Vida would always talk music. You love music. He loved music. The music we're playing today on this show is all from his playlist. And you know he loved Motown, and you loved rock and roll.
Right.
But when you guys talked music, it was always the rhythm. It was always about the upbeat, and you always loved him singing.
Oh, yeah. So many commonalities with our music tastes. And, you know, he was kind of more eclectic than people think, you know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, he loved that Motown sound and the soul and all that. But he also dipped his toe into, you know, rock and roll music. Mm-hmm. And we'd crack up and talk about our playlists. And then during the pandemic, when I was working from home and I had all my records up, you know,
the vinyl room,
he got a kick out of that. And he'd say, Mark, you know, you need to put up the Four Tops, you know, how come you don't have any Temptations up there, you know? And I go, man, I put Sly and the Family Stone up there. I know you like them. They got Bay Area roots. And you know, the thing about Vida is whenever he had an interest in something, he exuded passion for it. You know, the funny thing is, and you know this because you've been at, the three of us have been at so many charity events together. Most people think Vida Blue is in Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, isn't it funny? I've been at events where he would say, you know, he'd introduce himself and people would go, I know you, Vida, you're a Hall of Famer. You know, and he exuded that because he had that kind of charisma and people knew about his career. No question about it. You know, he is a Bay Area icon in the truest sense, and just always remember his giving. So, Bill, thanks for having me on. And I like what you're doing, a celebration of life, because Biden wouldn't want us moping around here.
My next guest was a very good friend of Vida Blue. Let's bring in Vern Glenn. Vern, how are you today?
I am terrific. Another day in paradise here in Marin County. Vida Blue was the man. If you were a pitcher, you wanted to be Blue. And I think people just today, just Yeah, everybody like flocks Chase Center to see Steph Curry play. Well, it was the same when Vita Blue was pitching. You wanted to see the high kick. You wanted to see Vita do his thing. I mean, he was packing stadiums in. And so as a kid, we all wanted to be Vita Blue. I mean, I'm not kidding here. I think Vita Blue is the greatest Bay Area player to have played for both the A's and the Giants. I mean, who else is there on that list? I mean, he is at the top in my mind. And for generations of people, you know, my age and older, I mean, that they hold on to those images of him just showing up and just mowing them down. I mean, he was just overpowering pitcher, and his personality was as overpowering as what he did from 60 feet, 6 inches away on the mound.
Fern, you had an opportunity to interview him about this Northern Lights Golf Tournament. We're going to listen to that too next.
All right, alongside Vita Blue, I'm Fern Glenn, and what a pleasure it is to talk with you, because even after all these years of playing Major League Baseball, you've got to be one of the most unassuming rock stars there are, because when you show up, really, you light up a room.
That's awfully kind of you, Vern.
Are you kind of taken aback by that?
Yeah, I am. I don't take myself that serious, to tell you the truth. And mm-hmm. But I get a chance to do so much in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. thanks to the Bay Area itself for adopting me, coming in from Louisiana 40-some years ago and maintaining a residence here in the Bay Area. I love the Bay Area. It's near and dear to my heart. I was having played for the A's and continued my career with the Giants and still work for the Giants right now. I love what I do, and it's an opportunity for me to do a lot of community work, meaning I'm about to tell you about the second annual golf tournament benefiting
Vita
Northern
Blue
Lights School.
Celebrity golf tournament.
Thank you.
At TPC Stonebridge, right?
And that's a tough course, but it's a fun course, and we're going to have a good time. All the proceeds from the tournament goes back to Northern Lights School.
Why the Northern Lights School out in East Bay?
Well, Miss Michelle Lewis recruited me to talk to the 8th grade class a couple of years ago, and I've been hooked. I have such an affection for the kids and for the faculty itself. There's some great kids that do a lot of good stuff with the student body. Their success rate is about 99.9% and counting. Knowing Miss Michelle Lewis, she probably want to get that 100%, but they do some good stuff there, and the kids know me there. They have the Vita Blue Field of Dreams out there, mm-hmm. and I'm excited about the chance to make an impact on these kids' lives. Come one, come all, it should be a fun time, and I want you.
You hear that? If you play against him, leave your wallet in the car.
Thank you, Vern.
Now we talk about Northern Lights Schools a little bit more, and we talk about the golf tournament that's going to happen on September 25th at Sequoia Country Club. Coming on with me is Christina Flack. Well, you have been part of this golf tournament, and all proceeds go to the Northern Lights School for the kids and all the different things they do, which is enormous. Tell us a little bit about your relation to it, and what does Northern Lights School obtain from this?
Well, I have been involved with Northern Lights School for over, my gosh, now it's going to be 17 years, but I've been participating, my family has been participating in the golf tournament since the beginning. And it just makes me so happy that we're able to help Vita and the kids have an amazing education at the Northern Lights School. It's just an extraordinary place with a very high success rate of kids going on to private high schools and colleges after having had this experience. So we're really happy to be a part of it.
Christina, a lot of professional players come up, retired, some active. How does this work? How does this all come to place? How does this all have so much fun on the golf course with all these people that Vita have been contacted?
Well, Vita was a magnet for getting people to come out, play golf, have a great time. There's amazing food, amazing drinks. The people, everyone there is just happy and excited to help out in such a beautiful school. There's people there from the, you know, players from the Raiders, the Warriors, you know, the 49ers, the A's, the Giants, the Sharks. And it's just every year people keep coming back and giving more. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing.
For more information on the Vita Blue Celebrity Golf Tournament that's taking place on September 25th, 2023, at Sequoia Country Club in Oakland, California, call Michelle Lewis at Northern Light School at 510-289-3990. 510-289-3990. If you would like to make a donation in Vita's memory, go to northernlightschool.com and donate in the Vita Blues memory page under the donor box. The next clip is from the 1971 All-Star Game. The opening is from Kurt Gowdy.
When he was a boy growing up in Mansfield, Louisiana, Vita Blues idol was Willie Mays. He never dreamed that someday he'd be playing in the same ballpark with his lifelong hero. And tonight, the first batter that the sensational young Vita Blue will face in this game will be 40-year-old Willie Mays. It should be just one of the dramatic moments of baseball's 42nd Major League All-Star Baseball game.
Our next guests are very special people in Vita Blue's life. They all worked in the clubhouses from the San Francisco Giants to the Oakland A's. Let me introduce you to Steve Vucinich from the Oakland A's, Mike Murphy from the San Francisco Giants, and Mario Alioto, who started in the clubhouse and now is one of the vice presidents of the San Francisco Giants. My next guest got to meet Vita at an early age and got to watch him grow. Let's bring in Steve Vucinich from the Oakland A's. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for asking me on. It's a pleasure to talk about a good friend that's going to be missed by a lot of people.
Well, as I said, you got to see Vita walk in that clubhouse in her earlier days. You got to see a young Vita Blue. Tell us a little bit about the energy he had.
Well, you know what? He came in, Hank Bauer was our manager in 69, and we knew we needed a left-handed starter. So they reached down and said, well, we might as well get the best we can, and called Vita up from Double A in the Southern League, and he made his first start in Anaheim. Wasn't that successful, but it wasn't that bad. But he was with us the rest of the year, but we'd see him every month because he was doing his reserve duty with the Army, and he'd have to fly out to Oakland once a month to do the weekend duty. He was always a happy-go-lucky guy, always asking about family and friends and always wanting to have fun. He and Tommy Davis, I credit Tommy Davis, the late Tommy Davis, that for teaching Vita a few of the ropes of being a major league player and how to act. But Vita's smile was infectious. He was a very neat person, absolutely. He would come in, and one of the first things he would do is take his dress shoes. The guys weren't allowed to wear tennis shoes at the ballpark in those days. He'd take his dress shoes and shine them up, buff them, and I'm sure part of that was the military training when he did his boot camp after the 69-70 season. So a very meticulous guy.
When you saw him out on the field talking to fans, what made him so spontaneous with people? What made him so likable?
Well, first of all, it was very genuine. He loved talking to fans because he said, I don't know if he used the line, but he thought that fans were equal to them. They were just good people. Although they're fans of Vita, they're fans of the A's. Fans of baseball, he should talk to them. And it's just his personality. Some guys want to run away and not even be heard. But Vita would walk down the line and shake hands with people. I remember those days in spring training in Mesa, Arizona. And he would take 10 minutes to walk from the third base dugout down the left field line. And he's talking to people all the way down.
If there was one memory of Vita Blue that's stitched in your brain, what would that be?
It might have been the day he retired to be a plumbing executive. I don't know why that stands out to me, because he was holding out, and we had already set up Gene Tennis, who he and Gino were very, very close. In those days, you couldn't come to camp until you had a contract signed. So that's where you had to hold out. So Vita was holding out after the 71 season, and so we set Kurt Bleffery up, Gene Tennis up, try to talk him into signing, and he wouldn't, and so then they had the press conference at the old Oakland Hilton, and he became a plumbing executive. Of course, everybody knew that wasn't going to last.
My next guest, Mike Murphy. Murph, how are you today?
Okay, I'm doing great.
Well, listen, you got to meet Vita Blue in the late 70s at Candlestick Park when he was a member of the San Francisco Giants, getting traded from the Oakland A's for seven players. When he walked into your locker room, what did you know about him then? What did you get to know him? And how was he in the locker room?
Oh, he was great in the locker room. I can tell you that. Steve Vucinich told me he was a great guy, and he really enjoyed people, and he enjoys hanging around the clubhouse. And, you know, he was happy-go-lucky. Everywhere he went, even on the road, we go on the road, he talked to people everywhere he went. I couldn't believe it. But he was one of the best guys I've ever met. Oh, he had everything in common. He pitched great. He enjoyed life. I could tell you one thing, he enjoyed being around baseball. And like I say, he talked to everybody, talked to people in the stands on his way out. You know, how are you doing? Fine. You know, he used to do that all the time.
Murph, if there's one story, if there's one thing that Vida Blue that you can remember, is there something that he did or said to you that you'll always remember?
Oh, yeah. Blue Boy was best. I tell you one thing. You know what I told him one day? Should have been an Irishman. He says, yeah, Vida McBlue. That's what I always call the Vida.
Yeah, Vida McBlue.
Vida
McBlue. Well, I know you were always used to call him Blue Boy. You used to come in there, Blue Boy. Blue it's boy. A Murph.
Where are you, Blue Boy?
How are you?
He was happy to see me all the time. He was happy to see me.
My next friend is the Executive Vice President of Business Operations of the San Francisco Giants, a very close friend of Vida Blue. Let's bring in Mario Aliotto.
Well, thanks, Bill. You know, yeah, back in the late 70s and early 80s, you know, I was in the visiting clubhouse back then. And when Vida, we all remembered Vida because, you know, his personality, as we all know, was he just a friendly guy, and he was friendly to the players, but he really was friendly to the staff. And whether you're a bat boy or ran the clubhouse, he was always one of the guys that's hanging around. And I always appreciated that about him. A couple of things about him that I do remember. He always wore his uniform perfectly. I mean, his socks and his stirrups, if you remember, he had the high stirrups, always had that look. He always would play catch without, you know, he was just always around, which I always appreciated. Yeah, you know, he was a junior giant commissioner for quite a number of years when that program first got off the ground. And you know how he was, Bill, you know, you knew him so well. He just was great with people, and we loved putting him in. He was great with the kids and helping kids play ball. And even with his background, being part of the Junior Giants community and getting that program off the ground was a wonderful thing.
Tell us, what do you think the fan base of Northern California will remember about Vida Blue?
You know, whether you remember him as an Oakland A or a San Francisco Giant, I think what fans will remember him as is a Bay Area icon. And he played for both teams. He was outstanding and stood out with both organizations. And I think fans will not only remember that high leg kick and, you know, his fastball and the great pitcher he was, but I think more than that, they'll remember his personality because he's a player that was around the community, always involved, talked to every fan you can imagine. He loved that. That's who he was. And you know that, Bill. We'd go out to lunch with him or see him on the ballpark. He had that personality that was just, it was a warm personality, and fans loved speaking with him, and he loved talking with fans. It's just that kind of guy, and I think that's what fans are going to remember about Vida, more so than his great fastball and his MVP awards and all that, and, you know, pitching in All-Star games. I think they're going to remember the person he was because he didn't grow up here. He's from Louisiana, but he really made his statement here. He lived here, and he was part of this community. He didn't just play here and go home. He stayed here and lived here throughout his entire career, and I think that says a lot about who he was, and I think how fans will remember him. He made everyone feel like we're all equals. You know, whether you're a fan, whether you're a player, whether you're someone that works in the office, whether you work in the clubhouse, whether you're a groundskeeper, he just treated everyone with respect, and I think that says a lot about, for me, who Vida Blue was. And it didn't really matter what role you played. It's how he treated you. He treated everyone with respect. And that's how I'm going to remember him. And I don't think I'll ever forget him because he was a wonderful man.
Hey, everybody. Brian Murphy here. And you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.